It's just been a really tough week in the North Dakota Democratic MPL family and for the friends and family of Liz outside of politics.
Well, hey there, I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. Welcome back to Prairie Beat,
Prairie Public's weekly news podcast. Danielle, I know that, as usual, lots of things are going on. There was something that happened over the weekend, so just tell us what's on the beat this week.
Yes. So, unfortunately, we did hear some tragic news over the weekend that a North Dakota legislator passed away in a plane crash in Crystal, Minnesota. Liz Conmey represented District 11, which is in Fargo, from the North Dakota Democratic Party. She was a passenger in a small plane that was piloted by her partner, Dr. John Katz. He was a retired Mayo Clinic doctor. And by now, as fast as the news cycle goes, you know, this might seem like old news already, but this story is far from over.
Yeah, there's still a lot left to figure out about this story, such as the investigation into what actually took place that led to this tragic crash. But also, Representative Conmey was running for re-election to her seat in District 11, and the Dem MPL is undoubtedly trying to figure out, what are those next steps?
Correct. So I got on the phone this morning with some party leadership.
I'm State Representative Zach Ista out of District 43 in Grand Forks, and I serve as House Minority Leader.
Representative Ista says the party is, of course, reeling from the tragedy of what happened to their colleague and friend, but they also have a couple of very pressing issues to take care of as soon as possible. Conmey was running, of course, for re-election, so there is the matter of figuring out who will run for that seat. But they also have to find somebody to fill the vacancy to serve the remainder of Conmey's term.
We expect as early as next week, we'll get official notice from the chairman of legislative management, Senator Hoag, that the vacancy has occurred. And then the district has, I believe it's 21 days to fill that vacancy. The Democratic Party will have that opportunity since Liz was a member of the Democratic Party, and that person then will serve for the balance of the 69th Legislative Assembly.
Ista says the rest of the term will mostly consist of a few interim committee meetings and if a special session is called for any reason. So they need someone to fulfill those duties. And Ista said that's the easy part. The other aspect to this will be finding someone to run for that seat that Conmey was running for re-election. She was one of two endorsed candidates running for the state house in that district. And as of today, April 29th, she will be on the June 9th primary ballot. And there really isn't much that can be done about that. He says there are a number of different options being looked at.
Will the local Democratic Party have the ability to put forward a alternative or a replacement for Representative Conmey? Should she advance in the primary? That's possible. Can the local party run a certified writing candidate and attempt to have that person finish in the top two in the primary? Yes, that's an option. There's always an option to collect signatures and run as an independent in the general election that will happen in November. So still doing our best to sort through all of those moving pieces.
So, Danielle, one of the questions I have is, since all those options sound exceptionally difficult and like they require a lot of paperwork and steps, et cetera, could this be addressed to make it any easier? This isn't the first time a candidate has passed away, not only in office, but pretty close to an election by my recollection.
Yes, Representative Ista and I did talk about that for a bit. The North Dakota Republican Party has had some losses in this term as well, with both Representative Josh Christie and Representative Cindy Schreiberbeck passing away. So they've had to fill those vacancies for the remainder of those terms. But with Representative Conmey passing away, as she is running for re-election and so close to the primary, it does remind me of a gentleman named David Ondahl, who passed away while he was running for the state house in 2020 in District 8. He passed away just a few weeks away from that November election. And he could not be replaced on the ballot. And as it would happen, he ended up being elected to that seat. And there was some scuffle around, you know, what was going to happen with that seat in the aftermath. Governor Burgum appointed someone to that seat, but the state GOP disagreed with that. They wanted to pick who was going to sit there. So the Supreme Court eventually had to weigh in on that.
A deceased candidate can win an election. And, you know, the voters' intent may be as a protest against other candidates they disfavored more, or whatever the circumstances that led a voter to cast a ballot for a deceased person. The legislature responded to that. It codified the Supreme Court's analysis. But as we read that statute, it only contemplates general elections, winning a general election.
Ista says he expects the legislature will address that gap in the law to include primary elections as well when they convene again next year.
So did Representative Ista have any thoughts on who they think they might choose to serve out the rest of her term?
Not quite yet. So there are some interesting things to take into consideration with that because of North Dakota's term limits law. It limits legislative terms to 8 years in either chamber, as well as limiting the governor to 2 terms as well. And Ista says whoever they choose to serve out the remainder of this term would not have as long of a political career ahead of them because of this law.
Some have suggested that might be a poor design of our term limits or a reason we should consider changing what our term limits provisions are in the Constitution. The reality is whoever sits in that seat for these remaining months of the interim will forego the ability to serve 2 full House terms. They'll really only have a constitutional right to serve 1 4-year term in the House, absent any future changes.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good point. And I've heard that the legislature is looking at ways to tweak that language a bit. Right now, it's 8 years or 2 terms in each chamber, which could add up to 16 years if the lawmakers switch chambers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now I think they want to amend that to mean they could serve up to 16 years in 1 chamber, right?
That, yes. So that will remain to be seen what they decide to do there. But I do interpret all this to mean that they will choose someone to fill out this term and then someone else will be running for the seat in November. And whatever process they choose to get to that point, be it, you know, the write-in or the signatures, et cetera, that will be hashed out soon, too. So we'll just have to see what happens.
The details of who will fill and run for that seat will undoubtedly work itself out. But while that is going on, no doubt there's a lot of sadness and grief about the loss of Representative Conmee, not just in the halls of the state capitol, but throughout her community, her district, and among her family and friends.
I did read her obituary, which honestly I would recommend reading if you haven't read it. In addition to details about her childhood and schooling and work life that you usually see in obituaries, there was a section of things that she loved, which included birds, Tommy and the rest of her kids, which honestly sounds like an inside joke to me, abs classes at the Y, speeding, LeBron James, and just a bunch of other things that were kind of funny and endearing and really demonstrated just how she was loved by her family and friends. And I asked Representative Ista this morning, too, you know, if he had anything to share about his colleague and friend, Liz Conmee.
One thing I've really enjoyed hearing amidst this tragedy is how the version of Liz I knew is the same version of Liz everybody knew. She just lived with authenticity, with this generosity of spirit, a joy and zest for life. And that's the memories everyone is sharing of her. So it's wonderful to know that she really was genuinely this warm spirit who took her work seriously, but never herself too seriously, added a lot of joy and humor and kindness to any room she entered.
Well, yeah, it's a good time to remember that this is a citizen legislature, mm-hmm. and, you know, made up of real people, not career professional politicians. And so that that is a definite loss, not only in the halls of Bismarck, but for Fargo and the community as well. And for the state of North Dakota, we, of course, send our condolences and sympathies out to anyone and everyone feeling the grief of this loss of Representative Conmee. We will keep watching to see how things work out for the residents in District 11 where she served. So, Danielle, were there any other noteworthy stories this week out of the Prairie Public Newsroom?
So know that you are absolute top, top, top priority.
Senator John Hoeven says he's working on making sure federal funding for the Farm Service Agency comes through.
I think that we are definitely going to reach 85% North Dakotans in our programs well before 2030.
UND Med School has a goal of having 85% of their student body be North Dakota natives. And I've just been watching the measles numbers in North Dakota. We are approaching the total that we reached last year, which was 36 total cases. As of today, 35 people have tested positive for measles this year.
And I saw there was one additional case in Grand Forks mm-hmm. County that you reported on. Of course,
yep.
The measles dashboard, you can find that at prairiepublic.org. You do update it and you get a
yes.
kind of visual display on how that is spreading. Definitely a lot going on as usual. Thanks, Danielle.
Absolutely. Be sure to tune in to Prairie Public for more news. Or again, check us out online at news.prairiepublic.org.
All right, that'll do it for us this week on Prairie Beat. I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week.